Look again with me now. In Luke chapter 19, I want you to notice the very same language, the very same theme here at the end of our Lord's life that are found back in Luke chapter 2 at the very beginning of his life. It's an amazing sort of completion of the circle. Verse 37 says, "And when he was come nigh, near, even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Where does that sound familiar? Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It is obviously reminiscent of Jesus' birth. But you remember when the heavenly hosts sang and they praised God, they said, "Glory to God in the highest." You just sang about it a moment ago. "And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And of course, also in Luke chapter 2, it says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Well, compare that to verse 41. "And when he," Jesus, "was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." Imagine that emotion our Lord had. "Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." Now, wait a minute. "In this thy day," Jesus said, in verse 44, you'll notice this, he says, "the day of thy visitation." You see, folks, way back at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the angel announced that that was their day. "Unto you is born this day," unto you, this day, a Savior was Christ the Lord. And that was their day. And most of them, obviously, didn't even know it. And now you come here to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, and as he enters the city of Jerusalem for the very last time, most of them still don't truly know it. But this too was their day. Again, verse 44 calls it the day, this time, of thy visitation. "In this thy day," Jesus said, if they know the peace, if they had known the peace that, quote, had belonged to them. Now follow me carefully. It was for the very same reasons as his birth, their day. Their day, as they laid down their garments and their palm fronds in his path. And folks, for all of the same reasons as his birth and as his death, this day, this is my message to all of us tonight, today. This day, for the exact same reasons that they announced it at the beginning and the end of his earthly life, this day is our day. Not yesterday, not just tomorrow. This is your day. The only question tonight is, do you know it? I mean, a lot of people didn't know it at his birth, and a lot of people didn't know it at his death. But it was still their day. Do you know it? Do you embrace it in the will of God? Pastor, how is it so that it was their day when Jesus came at birth? It was their day when he was going towards his death. It's also our day for the very same reasons. Well, there are three of them in the text, you'll notice. You know, the angels announced earlier that that particular day belonged to these people, just as Jesus said. Belonged to them in the sense that both texts in Luke that I just mentioned refer to, quote, the peace of God. The things which belong to thy peace, Jesus said. It was, the angel said, good tidings of great joy, bringing what? Goodwill toward men, peace on earth. It really was their, what a day. It was their day, their time of visitation. You know, when somebody finds a $10 bill, and they say, wow, this is my day. Is it really their big day, their lucky day, whatever, because $10 is worth $2, and gas is now $4, and our Congress wastes $3 trillion. This is really my day. This is our day. And I just won, you know, a free hour at a hair salon. Well, it wouldn't be my day, would it, if that was the big deal? Look, the text in Luke says this, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 41 again, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. It really was their day. And it was their day, not because of some fleeting temporal material bonus, not because of some fading glory or pleasure. This was their day to discover and receive the deep, abiding assurance and peace of God. Let me put it this way. This was their day to obtain eternal victory, security, comfort, strength. I'll remind you that it was on this very same hill that Jesus said that he would gather all of them together as a hen gathers her chicks. This is God making promise to man. And you know something? This peace that he speaks of, this hen gathering the chicks, this glory and this blessing, that is when it's really your day. And when you look at why, at both the beginning and ending of our Lord's earthly life, you can see immediately that as sure as that then was their day, for the very same reasons again, this is truly July the 11th, 2021. This is our day. Pastor, of all the times you wish that you could be alive and live in the world and be born and then die in the history of the world, what would you choose? This day right here. Because this is the will of God for me. This is my day. Why, Pastor? Number one, it included the presence of God. Look at verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Do you know why the stones would cry out? The Bible says that later the stones would cry out. We read it a moment ago. Because their Creator was right there in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Verse 38, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Blessed be the King that cometh, peace, glory. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would cry out." Why? Because Jesus was there. And just as his birth, it was the very presence of God. Just Jesus Christ being there was reason enough to make it their day. Now, I'm going to say something tonight. I don't know about you. There is something that I know. There is something that I know right now tonight beyond any shadow of a doubt. There is something that I have absolute 100% assurance of that completely changes everything about this day for me and every day. I know that Christ is with me. I know it. I know that Christ is in our midst. Now, folks, I want you to think for a moment about what a difference that makes in the lives of God's people. You see, folks, in both Luke 2 and here Luke 19, 33 years apart, it was an incredible thing to tell the people of God then, to announce, and what an announcement it was, that this was their day. And I'll tell you why. Because there was nothing, nothing in their daily lives that attested to that. For example, you look at the government and the political world that they were all under and surrounded by in and at that day. One in three people were enslaved by Rome. Think about that. That would take about this many people all the way over here of our own group, enslaved. The entire nation of Israel was occupied by a foreign nation, the iron hand of Rome, controlled by this idolatrous, paganistic, hedonistic empire. So that for the most part, they had no chance, zero chance of rising up out of their poverty and their oppression. Their own religion was corrupt to its core. Women were treated like chattel. Faithfulness by any of God's people was met with persecution. The priests, the spiritual leaders were completely worthless as emissaries of the Most High God. So the idea of any kind of justice or true equity for any follower of Jehovah was just basically non-existent if it was going to come from the world. It was a time of complete despair for a child of God. And yet, Jesus said, "This is your day. This today is your day." Oh, Pastor, it's a terrible day in which we're living. This is the worst time ever. Our government leaders are corrupt. Our financial system is broken. True. And our courts are becoming hostile to the church and God's people. True again. Even the icons of the American way They just tore down a statue of Sacagawea and Lewis and Clark. I'm like, really? She's one of the greatest people in our history. Tore them down. And I remember the jingle, baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie and Chevrolet. There's a commercial that says, they go together in the good old USA. I was a junior in high school when that commercial first came out, 15 years ago. But think about those icons today. Baseball, a bunch of spoiled, steroid-injected prima donnas, crybabies. Hot dogs and apple pie, food police say, I'm not allowed to eat them anymore. Chevrolet, just a hybrid car that runs on a combination of state and federal money, bailout money. They can't even make a good Chevrolet anymore. I don't know if you're a Chevrolet fan here or not, but what do you call a Chevy with brakes? Customized. Amen. Anyway, let's go on. But Pastor, this day and age in which we're living, this day. And I know what you mean. You got these people in Hollywood that constantly, and they get millions of dollars for belittling Scripture and mocking our Lord and the very idea of the home being attacked by an entire movement in this country. The idea of marriage relentlessly attacked. It's a crazy day, Pastor. It is. But you know what else it is? It's our day. It's your day. In fact, I can tell you that this is your week. I can also tell you that so far this year, this is your year. How do you know that, Pastor? I know it because it's his year. And his presence goes with us every single day of the year, even more so than his presence was here in Israel. Look, while he's in Jerusalem, he's not in Galilee. But when he left, he said, I'm going, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He'll be with all of you. And where two or more are gathered, I'm in the midst. A failed Washington is not going to sustain this nation using imaginary money from a failed treasury. This is obviously a recipe for failure. But it's been going on since I was in high school. It's just gotten worse and worse. This same government that has completely failed, they can't even make a budget. You know, we have had budgets in our home since I was 22. And it's not that hard. What comes in, what goes out, you make sure they balance. Our government can't do that. That same government wants to micromanage all the details of your personal life, knocking on your door and telling you to take a shot. I don't think so. I don't think they know how to run a country, these leaders. And they want to take away the freedoms you've had for 250 years. It's not going to work out. We've seen the movie before in other nations. We see it in cities. The same politicians who talk the most about justice and peace, who claim to care about victims, those are the very politicians who run the cities and the states with the least peace and the most victims. They're frauds. You get that, right? You understand that. I'm preaching to the choir. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Well, we gave you a chance. The world has had 6,000 years of a chance, and it's epic fail. But for the child of God, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Every day. That means it doesn't matter which Caesar or Herod or Caiaphas gets the headlines in any given day. If your king is Christ, today's your day. And this is the day, the Bible says, of your peace. Why? Because of his presence. And that's not all. Not only was it their day because of his presence, it was also their day because of the power. The power of the cross. Look again at verse 9. Go back a little bit. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to his house. Salvation. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 47. And he taught daily in the temple, and the chief priests and the scribes, and the chief people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. I want you to hear me carefully. In Luke chapter 2, at the birth of our Lord Jesus, the shepherds received a very specific message from that angel of God. Here's what the angel said. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A general? A president? A leader? A teacher? That's not the announcement. What he said was something that the vast majority of this world doesn't yet understand or quite understand. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think of when you think of the word Savior? What is your concept of that? Do you think of someone of great, great wealth who comes in and rescues someone from bankruptcy and poverty? Do you picture someone in the United States Coast Guard who goes out and saves someone who pulls them out of the water, a victim? Do you think of a deliverer, as it were? Maybe your idea in your mind of a Savior is someone who prevents a man from committing, let's say, suicide, destroying his life with drugs or alcohol. What is your concept of the word Savior? I want to remind you that none of those adequately explains or pictures or captures what the Bible means when it says, unto you born this day in the city of David, a Savior. What is a Savior? Let me illustrate it. In October of 1993, you all know the story, I think, an American convoy in Mogadishu in Somalia was ambushed. And then it was targeted by these RPGs. They were supplied by a warlord. One American was already dead. Others were trapped. And so Delta Force operators and aviation support came in. It was a 30-minute sort of drop and snatch operation, but it turned into a 24-hour nightmare. Two Black Hawk helicopters went down right smack in the middle of town. Angry mobs, militiamen came, and they were going to strike against these American forces. And they were just lying there injured, almost all of them. Two Delta snipers, one by the name of Randy Sugart, Gary Gordon, they kept persisting against their commanders, don't take us out. We want to instead go to the crash site, protect our fallen soldiers. You know, the motto is leave no man behind. And so they were inserted. They were inserted right in the middle by fast rope from a helicopter to save their own people from these hostile mobs. Both the Delta snipers were then killed. And a bad situation turned even worse. More rescuers were sent in to extract the living and now a lot of dead. When all was done, there were 18 U.S. soldiers who died and 73 were severely injured. And most of them as part of a rescue, evacuate operation. Those two men I mentioned were posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor because by their efforts, they bought time and they saved the lives of those other fellow soldiers. At the Medal of Honor ceremony, one of the rescued soldiers spoke on behalf of one of the men receiving the Medal of Honor. And he said these words, and I remember listening to them. He said, I could almost call these men or consider these heroes as saviors. Now, wait a minute, because there you have it. There, beloved, you have an example of what the word Savior really means in the Bible. A Savior is a bloodied rescuer. It is someone who saves, but at great personal cost. And so back in Luke 2, when Simeon was told that the name of Christ was Jesus, which means Savior, that same aged man looked at Mary and he said, yea, a sword shall pierce thine own soul. You know why? Because unto you is born this day a Savior. A Savior who at his own personal great cost would give his blood to ensure that you would have and I would have eternal salvation. You see, beloved, it really was their day. This was the day that the power of the cross brought full salvation to the hearts of men. And if you want to know why it was still their day, even in the midst of all the corruption around them and all the persecution and the tribulation, then all you have to do, just look no further than Calvary, where Jesus Christ dealt the fatal blow to Satan and his kingdom. But Pastor, do you realize that there are people in America who literally think that parents shouldn't have any control over their children, who are working day and night to keep Scripture and anything true of the Word of God out of schools and courts and everywhere? I do. And do you realize that people are still getting saved and delivered from the power of Satan every single day? This is their day. This is your day because of the power of the cross. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. You see, folks, burdens are lifted at Calvary, and every day is your day when you know the Savior of the world. You're looking at a man behind a pulpit. He's just a man, but he's a man who is saved, and I'm glad that I'm saved. It's my day because of the presence of Christ and the power of the cross. Number three, the third reason why it was truly their day and our day, and that was the promise of his coming. Look at chapter 19, verse 29, would you? It says, "It came to pass when he's come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you or near you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat." Wonder how he knew that. Well, he is God after all. "Loose him and bring him hither." Verse 32, "And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto him." Now, most of you in this room knows very well that this colt and that our Lord who's riding upon it, all of that was in direct fulfillment of two 500-year-old prophecies. In fact, the very words, the actual words of those who are praising Jesus that day, the precise words were fulfillment of centuries-old Old Testament prophecies. The reaction of Christ's enemies that we just read a moment ago were in fulfillment of hundreds of years prior Old Testament prophecies. And in fact, in your mind, if you go back to Luke chapter 2, you'll notice at his birth, dozens and dozens of centuries-old prophecies fulfilled according to the promise of his coming. In other words, it was their day. Because, not because they found something like $10 or they stumbled across something that was good for them. It was their day because, beloved, the God of glory planned and designed and purposed and promised the coming of the Lord, and he came. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Simeon, that aged priest who held the baby in his arms, he was a man who, quote, waited for the consolation of Israel. He waited for this. Now, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, how long had he waited? He was an aged man. I can tell you how long he waited. His entire life. His priesthood had been waiting for 400 years. The nation had been waiting for 2,000 years. The sons of Adam had been waiting for 4,000 years. And I'm telling you that when this promise and prophecy came true, it was their day. And I'm telling you this, for the very same reasons, this is our day. There are three times more promises and prophecies about the second coming of Jesus as it were for the first coming of Jesus. And guess what we're living in? We are living in the shadow of every single one of those promises. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean. Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. He was promised to come in the first coming, and he did, and it took a long time. It's been a long time. And Jesus is coming again. The cross and its power, Christ and his presence, the promise of his coming. I don't know about you, but this is a great day. This is our day. But Pastor, how can you stand up there and say that when the enemies of the cross surround us and are growing and getting more vocal, no more vocal than they were in the first century, first of all? I can tell you how I can say that. You know, a few weeks ago, I spoke at commencement for Crown College. And afterward, an elderly gentleman came up and he said, Pastor Blaylock, something you said tonight is why, I didn't know it till I heard it, until I came, is why we drove over 700 miles to be here. And I said, really? What was it? And he said, well, it was really nothing you said. It was something the Bible said. Oh, whatever. Okay, yeah, okay. He said, when you quoted Psalm 23, he said, when you quoted, thou preparest a table before me, and talked about how awesome that is. God himself is making dinner, preparing the table, God makes the food and lays it out. Thou preparest a table before me. How awesome is that? And he said, but that wasn't it. It was when you read the rest of the verse. I mean, because supper with the Lord, sign me up, right? But here's what the text says. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Yeah, we're surrounded by enemies. Guess when God prepares the table before us? In the presence. God's people don't cut and run. We don't say, oh, it's so dark, it's so terrible, so awful. It's just not our day. No, this is our day. The darker the night, the brighter the light. And even now, in the presence of our enemies, of which we were all once enemies of the cross, God prepares the table before us. Father, bless now, please, the invitation as we commit it into your hand. Thank you, Lord, that there was no real glory, no real blessing, that the people who heard that announcement from the angels had that we don't have. Thank you that we have the Savior, who's Christ the Lord. Thank you for his presence, for the power of the gospel that's changing lives every day. Thank you for the promise of his soon return. May we walk out of these doors tonight with that full assurance. This is our day to serve you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.